This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture. From the classic reality TV moments of the past and present, to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval. Folks, welcome to VPR Thursday. This is another supersized two-part one. Listen, when I get going about Vanderpump Rules, unfortunately, I can't stop. It's actually a problem. You know that already, but I'm so glad you're here. We're starting the episode in just 1 second. I just wanted to jump in to say that and to thank you to Juliana Carrozza, who took amazing notes, as always. Here we go, folks. The Vanderpump universe is always, always changing. So I was waiting for any last minute updates, but I think I'm safe. So I think we're just going to release this episode now. Here you go. Also, the first 50 minutes of this, I didn't realize my mic wasn't plugged in. So it sounds a little different than the remaining portion of this episode. Hope it doesn't annoy you too much, but I wanted to let you know, I do realize it sounds a little different. But also, as you realize, I'm an idiot. Have a great Thursday, and I'll talk to you Friday, where we're going to be recapping The Valley. And we got to catch up on two episodes, so it's going to be a Valley-heavy Friday. Oh, man, these Vanderpumpers. Okay, here we go. Folks, welcome. This one is for you today, tonight, this weekend, whenever you are listening or watching this. How the heck is everybody doing? Come on in, come on in. Everybody is welcome here. We are recapping Vanderpump Rules Season 11, Episode 12. Welcome to hell. We are allegedly two episodes away from the finale, and then we'll get into the reunion. I'm guessing a three episode reunion. If they're greedy, they'll push it for four. Maybe we'll get a secrets revealed episode. Who knows? We'll see. But this week's episode, you know, not as bad as last week's episode. A little confusing, a lot meta, very meta. We bring podcasting back up to the forefront where it should be because Bethany Frankel has entered the chat. We finally are discussing the Bethany Frankel, the artist formerly known as Raquel Rachel Levis podcast. They will not say Bethany's name, which good. It must just eat Bethany Frankel alive that they are not saying her name. Now, what I'm doing just to make myself feel better about my life choices, every time they talk about that podcast, I like to pretend they're talking about So Bad It's Good. Like, listen to this podcast today. Oh, it's crazy, dude. I just think it's talking about me. It's so exciting. Finally, it's all happening, as Sheena Shea would say. How are you guys doing? Are you good? What did you think of this week's episode? Hands down, the best scene of this episode, which I cannot wait to get to, is DJ James Kennedy versus Tom Sandoval. I mean, that scene at Tom's practice hangar, however, man, maybe we do need to cut back on some of the financials. I'm like, it's a big hangar for your band to rehearse in, but that was the best scene. I mean, my God, DJ James Kennedy cleared that man. I mean, it was no scraps left. He ate Sandoval alive. And it's unfair, but it is just funny. I mean, my thesis statement all season has been, what a waste for Tom Sandoval, just because he still clearly does not understand anything that he has caused, anything that he has been a part of. And he is still looking at it as such a weird angle that I truly look forward to the day where he is able to sit with himself and quiet all of the outside voices, maybe, and actually start to put it together and start to realize that the people around him make more sense than what his mind is telling him. Because at a certain point, it is sad to watch. It just is. And I think what scares me is that you see the resentfulness build up, the anger build up. I mean, my God, the man is wearing a leg knife. I mean, it went from funny to real scary in this episode when he's like, hey, dude, do you like this leg knife? Yeah. You like these shorts I'm wearing? Yeah. Very close up to on my thigh shorts. But the main thing is just so you can see my leg knife. You're wearing a leg knife and talking about cutting your dog in half? Let's dial it back. Rest in peace, O.J. Simpson. My goodness gracious, golly, oh my. It was really weird. What a weird moment, which we'll get to all of those moments today. The Vanderpump multiverse ecosystem, the industrial Vanderpump complex that has been created, as I've always said this season, it's not just the show anymore, right? It's the show. It's the after show. It's Sheena's podcast. It's Jackson Brittany's podcast. It's Sandoval's podcast. It's Rachel's podcast. It's Katie Maloney's podcast. And Katie was on Danny's podcast today. I mean, there's all of these things that you have to take into account for. I mean, and some of it just like completely batshit, speculative nonsense. But then some of it, you gotta like, oh man, it gives you this full 360 view that I always argue that I wish the show could get ahead of, because sometimes I feel like we're not obviously seeing. Oh, also Lala's podcast, obviously. So we're not seeing the entirety of the picture. So it's a really weird time to be a Vanderpump Rules fan, because you have to live in some sort of virtual reality where you are checking in with like 3 billion podcasts, 2,600 Reddit threads, a couple of memes, and, all of the bars. All of the bars. You got Tom Tom, Schwartz and Sandy's. Who knows about something about her? In fact, I also, like, listen, not a popular opinion, I'm sure. I don't give a rip if this place ever opens in my life. I got merch. I'm happy to have merch. Fuck. I love it. Merch will probably be worth more if the shop never opens. I love sandwiches, but I also love pizza. I don't care. I'm good. But I'm sure we'll get the answers to that at the reunion. So I am not holding my breath. Now, the fun thing is, this week I did Sheena Shea's Shenanigans. I'm back on Shenanigans. I think it's released this Friday. Now, there are a couple of things in this podcast that we said or that was said that I think will be cut out, so I cannot reveal. There were a couple of things that I learned that I don't think I'm going to be able to talk about yet, because I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want Sheena upset. I don't want to get anybody pissed at me. But there was one thing I can't wait to talk about, because it gave me a little bit more of a picture potentially of where some of the people might be coming from, and something, you know, also involving Ariana that you know, I was like, oh, okay, that actually makes a little bit more sense. So we'll see. Also, right out of the gate, Lala, it was very interesting doing Sheena's podcast and trying to explain my feelings a little bit on Lala, because I know Sheena and Lala are so tight. I was really ticked off at Lala last episode, but this episode, to me, it was like, I like seeing Lala get into motherhood. I like that she's amazing at it. It's like the one thing that I'm like, oh, I completely agree with that. I have no problem. Like, I love seeing the process of picking the sperm donor. To me, that is a very real kind of fun scene. There's not a lot of joking that I can do in that. I think there's really true, pure intentions behind that. And to me, that is, I mean, listen, we'll quibble a little bit about, Lisa, can I have the party at your place tomorrow? When there's no way that just happened. And it's just like, oh, I guess we'll just put something together in less than 24 hours. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I get infuriated with reality TV. It's like, we already knew it was going to be at Villa Rosa. That was already in the books. But that's the stuff where I kind of really see at heart, you know, who Lala at her best is. So it was nice to have a week where she wasn't just what I feel as shitting all over Ariana. And to me, that's why I'm really curious these last couple of episodes leading into and the reunion of maybe it will help us and me understand why we get to the point in Talking Heads where she is just slagging Ariana off. The Vanderpump Rules after show, which I am a big proponent of, also this week breaks down the financial situation with Ariana and Tom's house. Ariana says exactly what she's been saying all along. And it is so funny because we are so quick to jump down her throat about not getting out of the house and what she's doing. And you know, she's kind of said these things all along, but it's really interesting in the after show because she just has all of these facts to back it up. And these facts about home loans and refinancing homes and things that a lot of us have no flipping idea of because we will never be able to own a house in our lives. Thank you, government. How dare you, tax day? This episode, I got to tell you too, Joseph, I miss you, girl. Girl, I know it's been a long time, but I've missed you on my TV screen this last week with your kooky antics and you talking about killing your pet turtle as a kid. I miss you, girl. Come back to the show. Please, please come back. We do know we see Joseph at the reunion. I'm sorry, AKA Kaylee, her real name. Now, this past weekend, I did a full, way too long recap of the Rachel Goes Rogue podcast with Joseph, which I thought was very interesting. You know, what's interesting about all of these podcasts, it'll give you the fuller picture, but you also got to realize what you're not hearing. My big problem with the Bethany Frankel podcast with Rachel was all of the stuff that was left to the side, put to the side, not like good questions asked because Bethany did no research. Bethany didn't watch the show. She had her own agenda that she was trying to push with the reality reckoning of it all, where I think she just kind of lost the plot with one of the main things about doing podcasts is to try to entertain, to try to inform, to try to let the listener or the viewer in on something. You know, and you had such a good opportunity, and I feel like it was a swing and a huge miss. So it's really exciting in this episode that we get to see their reactions to this episode. And if you watch the after show, they go even deeper into those reactions, which I thought that to me was fascinating. To me, that was like, okay, now I feel like I'm getting a complete experience. But it was such a letdown at the time. I was like, this is such a huge opportunity that Bethany got this, and it's going to be number one regardless just because of the topic and the person, but it would have been such a great moment if she had done her research and been able to answer some of the questions that at the time when this was like July or August that we were dying to know, that we were dying to know. We'll also get into Rachel kind of losing the plot more and more as she goes on with her podcast and her social media posting. We'll go into how she literally had four clips edited ready to push out on her Instagram the moment Vanderpump Rules episode hit the airwaves yesterday. So that was wild. And I would love to know who over at Evolution or Bravo is the leak that got Rachel these episodes early. Like, is everybody working in conjunction at this point? Because the thing is that like this keeps the whole thing going. You know, it's like I said, everybody here is making some sort of money. Even Tom Sandoval, even Raquel, they're all making money. But like, I'm curious who is giving Rachel access to these episodes early. Now, I will get access to certain episodes early at times, but I'm always very careful to not reveal anything beforehand. I don't want to get in trouble. I've done that. Like when I first started, I got into a couple slip ups because I was a rookie and I didn't know and I got too excited. But I really try to protect those relationships of anybody that gives me that stuff. In fact, I put up a TikTok of me reacting to a TikTok and an Instagram of me reacting to that DJ James Kennedy Tom scene. And I had already done that like the day before. And then I released once the episode fully aired because I just didn't want to get anybody in trouble at all. Like I'm very, very aware of that. But Rachel was like, boom, 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 boom. And I am curious who over there is giving her access to these things. I think that is a huge betrayal, unless that's part of it too. And I really hate to get conspiratorial, but maybe that's a thing of like, yeah, the more people are talking about it, the better. Who cares about the emotional upheaval, but the more, the better.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
But I do worry about Rachel's mental state at a certain point, because you're defending something that is starting to get where it's like indefensible in some ways. Like I was with you on a lot of these things, but now we're quibbling and semantics over these little like line readings and things that you said that eventually you just have to own. And the fact that like you keep pushing, but like it's starting to me make her look worse, where I thought she was like leveling out. And you just don't want to give, I don't know, like at a certain point, it's let the mouse go. And I am curious, even for Rachel and her podcast, which I'm sure it'll be totally fine. But like, where are we going to go for her after this show finishes this season? Like, is it going to become like what she said initially on the Bethany Frankel podcast, that it was going to be a podcast about mental health? Are we going to get back to that land, or is it going to be like, well, let's start with season one of Vanderpump Rules and see what I think about it? And I think there is this, not to use a Schwartz phrase, of getting lost in the sauce. And, you know, at a certain point, you're defending actions that you made, whether it was completely groomed and manipulated by Tom Sandoval, you still played a part in it. And for you to consistently quibble over these same things that were again and again, I feel like this time it just really made her look very bad. And there are some things, because I know she listens to clips here and there. So Rachel, if you're listening, I do encourage you to keep going as a podcaster, but I also want you to answer like fully things. Like I said with Joe, what a huge missed opportunity of talking about your experience with Joe when you were hanging out with Schwartz and Sandoval while he was still dating Ariana. Now, Schwartz did a lot of podcasts and media interviews, Watch What Happens Live, Nick Vialli, all of these people this week. And more revelations were left where he said, yes, Joe was aware of the Sandoval-Rachel relationship, you know, but it was to the extent that she wanted to know. It was like, and in her head, Sandoval had already pumped the narrative out that he was breaking up with Ariana. So that seems to be the narrative that had been put out by Sandoval and Schwartz. So Joe, they're not talking about this, but Joe must have believed like, oh, he's breaking up with Ariana or has already broken up with Ariana. But for her to say she was not aware, that's just not the truth. And if you're going to have us, you know, if you're trying to get, not trying to get empathy, but if you're trying to tell your story about your relationship with Schwartz and potentially him breadcrumbing you and leading you along, you do have to add in other things to give the full picture about time and place. That's just my opinion, but it makes your other things, it makes us a little wary, or at least me a little wary, when I'm like, well, you're not being fully honest about the entirety of the situation. And when you were in this love bubble with Schwartz, the other things that were happening around you, because you, Sandoval, Raquel, and Schwartz were all kind of this gang that you could hang out together because you all knew this little secret. And it's interesting. And also this episode, not to look too deeply into it, but that's what we do here because we are so deep, is thinking about love, is thinking about, does Tom Sandoval in his mind really truly believe he was in love with Raquel, or is he doing this because it's a way to garner empathy. It's a way to absolve himself potentially of his sins. It's a way to say, okay, well, the reason I did this was it was real love. And it's made me think so much about love this week. Because love, you know, there's that infatuation love and that time of, you know, when you're in love and you're just all hot and bothered by each other and you can't get enough. But then there's like love that builds over time. And there's love that actually builds with trust. And there's something about then having a partner for years upon years. And we see that, you know, with Ariana and Tom. But it is interesting because his kind of got cock blocked by his indiscretion, by getting caught. But he was still in that phase of, oh, dude, I would do anything. But it's hard that he can't even listen to like, oh, yeah, at the end of the day, I was a little horny, dude. It was like pretty awesome. Like I was sneaking over to her place. We were like hooking up in front of Hippie the dog, dude. It was insane. For him to not like start to really seriously think about that and think, okay, maybe I was misjudging everything. Maybe this isn't exactly what love is. It's a form of love, but obviously it isn't real. And when you see the pain that it caused these other people, it kind of adds more strikes against it. And then on top of it, to compliment Raquel a little bit, now I'm fascinated with calling her Raquel because that's what they keep saying, Raquel. Rachel is that Rachel went to a facility and was around mental health professionals that actually got her to understand the severity of the situation and where she was coming from. But it is interesting that this episode tries to paint Raquel into this person that is almost a black widow, the kiss of the spider woman. She did it to DJ James Kennedy, and now she did it to Sandoval. Thank God she wasn't on another season, or poor Ken Todd would have been in the mix. Can I love you? Don't want to go in the jacuzzi with you, Raquel, please. I'm a happily married man. I just like to carry around my dogs with me. Please don't. I can't believe that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they paint us this. And it is funny when Sandoval is trying to make us feel, I mean, it's not funny, but it's inherently funny in a sense that Tom Sandoval is trying to turn like, you should feel bad for me, dude. My heart's broken the whole time. He's been hooking up with other people. Remember Billy Lee's friend? Remember all the girls that have come out since saying, oh yeah, I hooked up with him over the summer. So like emotionally, he was still connected to Raquel, but penis-wise, connected to many other people in the West Hollywood Valley Village area. Like, you know, it's like, dude, I guess I have to finally give up. I mean, I haven't sleeping with people the last couple of months, but I was still hanging my hat on Raquel. I wasn't able to give my heart away. Just my massive, awesome semen. Yeah. Please remember, rate me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, folks. Woohoo! Also, guys, we're doing a Patreon Live today, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, that we can talk about anything. Usually, this is really fun. You can say anything you want in the chat. We can talk about Vanderpump. We can talk about Summer House. Oh, my God, you guys. I talked to Jesse Solomon from Summer House today, and it was a hysterical it was a really funny, funny interview. So if you're loving Summer House this season, like I am, I think you're going to get a kick out of that. Cause I certainly got a kick out of that. I had to cut something out, unfortunately, because of Bravo, but it was a really, really a funny interview. But I'm happy to be here. Like I never am loving talking about the show anymore because it just takes up so much space in my brain. But it is one of those things where like leading up to this, and I know this is just my mental illness, where it's like weight, like I got to talk about it. And the whole day I'm like, oh no. And I'm watching the episode again and again, trying to find these little things and little moments and scrolling around all the Vanderpump news. And it just sometimes feels so much. So I love when we get to Wednesdays where we get to start so I can purge all of this from my brain and just try to forget about it and like eternal sunshine it from my memory. Oh, also you guys, tonight, Taylor Swift's new album comes out. It leaked online today. And people are so damn harsh on Twitter. People are like, oh, she didn't eat with this one. So it is interesting. People, when you are that successful, they are just out to hate you immediately. You have to like legitimately prove yourself time and time again. But it is interesting to think if Taylor Swift at the height of her powers could release a stinker. I have high hopes for it. I'm very excited to listen to it. I'm still listening to Beyonce's album. I'm listening to Waxahachie's new album. Listening to Karunga Ben, Vampire Weekend. We've had so much good new music lately. Listening to Sheena Shea's new hit song, Apples. There's so much good music out there lately. But yeah, that's tonight as well. So we got a big entertainment weekend coming up. You got, oh my gosh, I'm going to see Fish. Yeah, I'm going to see Fish, baby. I'm wearing my Fish lid. We're seeing Fish at the Sphere this weekend in good old LV Las Vegas. So that should be fun. I wonder if Austin and Shep will be there. But if you're going to the Sphere to see Fish, please, if you see me, let's say hi. Let's talk some Vanderpump before these guys get into a 40-minute jam or something. Also, programming note, we will be catching up on The Valley finally on Friday's episode. So tune in for that. I think The Valley is killing it. I am so invested, which is always a great sign for a new show. Like, I'm legitimately enjoying is a hard word because it's really rooted in misery, but I think it's got legs. I think it's got momentum. I think this thing could be really interesting. And it's its first season. So remember, Vanderpump Rules didn't even really take off until its second and third season. So they're in a really good spot right now. So I'm very curious to hear what you guys think. And I really do enjoy talking about it, because how do you not enjoy talking about Jax and Kristen Doty? I mean, it is so much to rage against the machine with Jax especially. And Chris, you know, being an empath myself, like Miss Kristen Doty, it is fun to watch her, but it is funny when you can tell a show has its punching bag, you know, is that they will flat out troll Kristen so hard with flashbacks in that show that it is like, man, you know, like, she is giving it all for us. And it's so like, they have so much to troll her about every episode. Well, they'll do a clip. Like, I wonder if Doty knew going in that they would like use old footage of Vanderpump Rules and just roll, like, in the same thing with Jax. But I think Jax is more oblivious, like, F you, whatever, it's AI, that's not even me, it's a character I play on TV. But Doty, there is some kind of protectiveness, I feel, for her, where it's like, man, it is what. But it's interesting to see how these cast dynamics and the Michelle Lally and Jesse Lally scene with who is this director from the Chateau Marmont she is potentially hooking up with. You know, I've heard Quentin Tarantino, I've heard Michael Bay, somebody said Spike Jones. I personally think it's Michael Bay, but who knows? We'll find out. And if you know a Bravo audience member, that information shall be revealed. Okay, let's get into this, folks. Finally, Vanderpump Rules Season 11, Episode 12, How'd You Like Them Apples? Boom, love the title, because Sheena Shea, but you know Sheena loved the title of this. She's like, oh my God, that is my song. That is my hit song, Apples. We talked about Drake's rap, his diss records he's been releasing, which I did get a lot of feedback on, that I did not put first, that Drake didn't fire the first shot in the rap battles. So I'm sorry I did not go into that completely, but guys, Drake didn't fire the first shot. But I do like that Sheena is potentially the Drake of Vanderpump Rules, is putting out diss tracks in response to real life actual events. This is the description the cable company gives us. A podcast rehashing the past sends everyone spiraling. So in my head, it's like, so bad it's good. That's rehashing. Like, that's me right there. But it's actually Bethany Frankel's podcast. But I love the podcast gets like the second letter of the whole description. How far we've come. Sheena releases a new song. Lala takes the step towards expanding her family. Allie and James have a tough conversation. And Sheena and Sandoval clash over a perceived betrayal. Now, this is a great, I guess, recap, but you don't have DJ James Kennedy Sandoval, which for me was the whole scene. That was like the chef's kiss scene, and you don't put it in the little show description? Like, come on. What are you, rookies over there? Let's go. Also, do you think podcasting, like, it's now become such a joke term, especially in these shows, like a podcast. I want us to find a new name to call podcasts, because I feel like it is sometimes turned into a joke, buzzy word kind of thing in these shows, where it's like a roll of the eyes when you hear podcast, or when people ask you, did you listen to this podcast? And they're not a podcast listener, they'll just roll their eyes. Like, we need a new name potentially. So previously on Vanderpump Rules, we have this Lala to Lisa from a couple episodes ago of like, I'm just a bitch in these streets trying to rebrand and get a sperm donor. And little Lala's like, feed me, bitch, feed me. And then Lala to Brian at Cryobank. Now, Brian from Cryobank, I think this is his third episode. The poor guy is like a cartoon character. He is always in the same outfit. I'm Brian from Cryobank. I wear this white button-up shirt with these pants, these khaki pants I tuck in. Anyway, she lets us know that she's going to throw a party because her daughter was conceived out of love, and I'd like to bring in a different form so that the kid knows we were all there, which hell yeah, I'm in support of that. On the after show, she did make a joke towards Randall Smemmett about going like, listen, this new baby was way better to conceive than what it took to conceive with Ocean. That means Randall ain't laying it down in that bedroom. He ain't laying it down in those la-la streets. She was not satisfied. Lisa to Sandoval, I think it would be the gentlemanly thing to do to give her the space and sell the house. And Sandoval's like, or a one of us can keep it, Letha. Come on, dude. Ariana in a scene crying to Lala and Sheena, I put so much of my life and my money and my time and making this my dream home, and I never did anything to him. Sandoval's band manager, Jason, in another scene, have you heard from Raquel? And Sandoval's like, I haven't heard from her in a few weeks, dude. I just want to see her. My penis wants to see her, dude. Sandoval in a talking head goes, I'm still very much in love with Raquel. And Lisa to Sandoval, I spoke to Raquel at length. I was with Nick Lane, and I said, pardon me, Nick, this steampunk thing that we've got going is amazing, but I need to take this call from Raquel. I spoke to her at length, Tom. It's over. I mean, like, it's very over. There are lawsuits about to be dropped, Tom. So we start with this like, kind of poppy, jaunty music. In fact, is this Sheena's song? Like, it's a long road to our dreams, but it's all for me. Believe we can make it. Look in my eyes. These are the best days of our lives. Which is, that's like cribbing Best Day of Our Lives from the Vanderpump Rules Dina Dudley theme song, which still hits like a motherfucking fire. Now, listen, Coachella first weekend, amazing. Surprise set from Vampire Weekend. You had Olivia Rodrigo come out from No Doubt. Here's my pitch. Weekend two. You want to get people talking. Like during Tyler, the Creator set, if Dina Dudley came out and sang the Vanderpump Rules theme, boom. I mean, Coachella's done. They can never get better than that. Anyways, the episode begins with Sheena documenting herself in one of her famous YouTube videos. Sheena reminded me yesterday that she has a YouTube channel, and I always forget that. And I know it's like really successful because she was telling me how she documented everything at Coachella for her YouTube channel. And I always forget about that. But I mean, I would want to know it for all the cast members, but I want to know everybody's financial breakdowns. I want to know how much they get from their podcast. I want to know how much they get from YouTube. I want to know how much they get from Instagram sponsored posts. Listen, I am hammered off of Chili's espresso martinis, thanks to Sheena Shea and Katie Maloney right now. So, I want to know how much they got for that. I mean, there is a lot of money flowing around, and I would love to see year to year some financials. I think that would be a fascinating episode. If Sheena, if you're listening, could you give me all your financial statements for the last 10 years? Anyways, they're at Kyle Chan's store to shoot the Good as Gold music video with her band, the 27s. And what I'm seeing, because like Kyle Chan has like this gold background and the stairs, so it is kind of a perfect place to shoot. But in my Vanderpump weird mind, all I can think back is the season finale of last year's Vanderpump Rules at the something about her kind of launch party that then led into the Sir or Tom Tom fight. Was that before that, remember, Kyle Chan had a party and Sandoval Schwartz went with Joe and Raquel. They were there all four together at Kyle Chan's store. And I have pictures from that night in front of that gold wall. So in my mind, that's what I'm thinking about when we see this. Lala and Ariana arrive. Lala, you know, Brock's there. He's like, it's been a day, guys. It's been a day. We're doing a music video, yeah, guys. I've got to tell you, just for everybody listening, watching, I'm still getting comments, which is awesome that new people are discovering the show and either liking it or passionately hating it. But I want you to know, I understand Brock doesn't. I understand that's an Irish. I can't do his accent. So that is how I do Brock. I still am getting comments of like, that is actually an Irish accent and that is not Brock. I'm like, I am so well aware, but I really love I love it. I just want you to know, I know, I understand. Anyways, they're talking about how they all look amazing. And Sheena's like, I just got Katie's text. What the fuck? And Lala's like, she's not coming. And they show Katie's text sent to Sheena with a picture of Katie in bed. And she says, I'm not coming. And Sheena's like, why? And Katie's like, deathbed. My body aches. My head hurts. But I want to see Katie's camera roll of how many shots she took to get the perfect shot of her just like, cause she looks gorgeous. Like, just like, like the lighting's right. The makeup's right. It looks just like, oh goodness. I can't make it. But she looks fabulous. Like she looks, if this is the deathbed, it is a beautiful deathbed. Sheena's like, so I was like, wait, why? Like what happened? And she's like, deathbed. I love the way Sheena says that. Sheena and I talking about it says, I mean, are you really sick? Are you trying to avoid Lala after the big fight? Because last week at the Foxfire Lounge, you know, when all the girls' night, they were all out there. Katie was talking about Joe and going, hey, you don't have any relation to Joe. You don't know this girl. The girl's nothing to you. I'm something to you. So why you got to go like feel bad for this chick? And Lala's like, because I'm motherfucking soft right now, Katie. Let's get in a cage match. This is Lala at her softest, bro. You want to come at me? Well, you're just about to get a load of softness. You feel that? That's a light breeze because I'm soft. I'm Lala and I'm soft. Katie's like, it's not making a lot of sense. And Lala's like, then I don't care. I'm fucking soft. So that was the flashback from last week. It is funny, though. I just want to keep pointing out, like, after that big fight, to me, I mean, maybe that was a big fight to them. It just, like, Katie was kind of monotone, as she is sometimes. And Lala was like, ah. So to me, it wasn't a big fight. I mean, is there a world, and go with me here, is there a world in which Katie just didn't want to come? Is there a world in which she was like, I'd rather lay in bed today? Is there a possibility of that? But I will say we have Ariana there. Ariana's showing up for Lala. Ariana's a dog in Lala's fight, you know? Sheena says, well, we got a music video to shoot. I got to go change. Ariana's like, okay, let's all change. I'm going to put on jumpsuits. The cameras people, they're ready to shoot. And Sheena's like, let's roll this shit. I'll open Pandora's box for you. I'll bring the rocks for you. We're gonna down the line. And the director's like, I want to hear you sing this one. And Sheena's like, this is Sheena's behind the music. When I recorded Good as Gold, I never could have imagined that 10 years later, I would be doing a music video for it. But after being back in the studio with the 27s, I just realized how positive music has been for me. It gives me a creative outlet to just let my feelings out. And honestly, I couldn't be happier because we're good as gold. And the girls are jumping and dancing. They're pretending to sing on microphones and play the drums, all sorts of wackiness because we're good as gold. Beautiful. You'll never make me hate that song. I love that song. At my funeral, play that song. Like, honestly, like, you know, when like the pallbearers, if there is that, I don't even know how I'm going to do it. I haven't really planned this, but now maybe let's just plan it together. Good as Gold. We do that at some point. We'll play Good as Gold. Maybe we'll start the funeral procession with the Vanderpump Rules theme, you know, like these are the best days of our lives. And people will lightly chuckle in the audience because like, oh, he's dead. This isn't the best days of our lives. But you know, that's the kind of ceremony it'll be. Hopefully we'll get Ken Todd out there to be like, okay, these runs in the casket. Has anybody done a Vanderpump Rules theme funeral? Will I be the first? I'm really joking, actually. Please don't use this. And when please don't pull this clip, please. Okay. Anyways, so we go to a scene over at DJ James Kennedy's house in Burbank where James is doing the dishes. Also, I want to say they give a shot to the sky where they show a Southwest airplane in the air. And I'm like, oh, amazing. This has to be fake because Southwest Airlines don't actually make the air. I'm still really ticked about Southwest. Like I did miss Grandma Pat. That's so dark. I miss Grandma passing. And I know it can't be changed, but like they diverted the plane. I got stuck in Vegas for a night. What a weird thing. So it was like, yeah. Also, is Southwest advertising on this show now? Because I've now seen multiple. I get that it's in the flight path, but like I get that it's in the flight path, but it is like, that's a Southwest. That's like free advertising. Thank God it was on like Spirit or something. James is palling around with his dog Hippie. He's like, sit, that's a good boy. And Ali's like, James, you have to come listen to this. What? It's insane. Apparently, Rachel went rogue on some podcast. That's where in my head I put in, on So Bad It's Good. But it's Bethany's. And I will say, in the Bethany Frankel of it all, it cracks me up. Just her whole bit. Just her whole... her whole, not scam, but it's like a grift of some sense, because Bethany was all hot and bothered, like, bravo, bravo, reality reckoning. So she's got all these lawsuits in motion. She's like gotten her team of Avengers. You got, Faith. You got Brandy Glanville. You got Bethany herself. You got Rachel. You got a who's who of people that have separate lawsuits coming at Bravo, all represented by the same powerhouse law team. But it is interesting when you're complaining about the toxicity of reality TV, but then on your own podcast, you are doing similar things like this. And it's even pointed out on the after show, I think, by Tom. Even Sandoval is like, well, dude, then it's like Bethany, like Raquel's complaining about being used, but like Bethany, like using her too. Like, I like that it was like a tip of the hat of like, Game recognizes game, Bethany. Touche. You have one up to me with your podcast in using Raquel. I see you out there. No, but it is interesting now, Bethany. I did the story on Monday. She rebranded her podcast to Just Be Divorced, and now she is going in to the details, the nitty-gritty details of her divorce fight with Jason Hoppe. And it's getting wild. She talked about trigger warning, her miscarriage, and saying she was glad it happened, and all of these really details. But it's like, this is the toxicity that would have been shown on a reality show, but they didn't even show it on Bethany Getting Married because it was too dark. But now you are revealing that sort of toxicity on your own podcast. So aren't you propagating the thing that you are speaking out against? You're just putting it on podcast form as opposed to it being a reality show. Like, I'm honestly asking that question because I sometimes get confused of like, isn't this part of the toxicity that you are complaining about? Anyways, James is like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And Allie's like, she's like blaming Hippie's behavior on you. Like, what the fuck? And James is like, she thinks she has this whole platform where she's just going to talk shit about me and make me seem like a bad doggy dad. And it's ridiculous. I mean, there was a lot said. There's a lot been said even in the lawsuit. James was brought up in the Tom Ariana lawsuit. There was instances talking about Tom and, Graham, a.k.a. Hippie, and behavior towards that. What we can go by is what we actually see with our own eyes and what the show is presenting. And it's that DJ James Kennedy seems like he really loves being with Graham. Like, this is, we're just seeing moments, right? But it seems like he genuinely loves being with this dog and around this dog. I don't know. I was on Mary Payne's Pink Shade podcast. So go check that out. I dig Mary Payne a lot. And we were talking about this, and I keep thinking about the concept of forgiveness, even with Tom Sandoval. I think Tom Sandoval makes it rough because he is not sorry and he is angry. So it's hard when somebody is angry at you for being angry at something that they did. So that's a hard place to start with forgiveness. But is there a world in which we grow as people? Is there a world? And I said, I don't know the answer. Like, I want to believe it, but I sometimes don't know. I don't know. I don't even know for myself. So it's one of those things, but what I see with my eyes is that, like, looks like a really good dog dad. Allie looks like she's a very incredibly sane person. So it's just what we see on these shows. Lala now over at Kyle Chan's is like, they're all talking about the podcast now. It's like, hey, do you feel like you're banging out after that podcast that just dropped today? And Sheena's like, I literally been going since like 7 a.m., girl. I haven't listened to anything. I've only had people text me. I have so many texts right now. I am tracking so many locations, but I'm like not even able to catch up. And Ariana's like, it's like, what are you doing in regards to the podcast? Because legitimately, I think us as a fan base, we're like, what are you doing? And Lala's like, what was it about? Like, I didn't see much. And Ariana's like, and Sheena's like, she says you were just acquaintances at best. And Ariana's like, well, that's funny because our Instagrams are filled with us hanging. Like, what are you talking about? And Ariana in a talking head is like, Rachel and I spent a ton of time together. We also then now get into a game of flashbacks with Rachel's birthday 1 year earlier, legitimately 1 year earlier. where this was the camping trip for Rachel's birthday. And, you know, we had the galaxy light and the tents, and Santa was like, Ariana and I got you a gift, dude. And Rachel's like, what? Shut the fuck up. These are all beautiful vintage glasses. Me and Ari, Tom's actively hooking up with this girl. And he's like, this is for me and Ariana. And then later he's like, hey, it's just for me. Yeah. Hey, Ariana, no, I picked them out, dude. I'm just giving her credit because I'm still pretending to be with her. She doesn't have any idea, right? Rachel and I talking heads like, these are like my true core people. These are my forever friends. Forever friends. So her own words are being used against her, which, by the way, Coca-Cola, Christina Coca, who was on the show on Tuesday, you know, that's what she does so brilliantly with her TikToks and stuff, is she uses their own words in regards to pointing out certain hypocritical traits that people have on that show. But this is one right here, is we're using Rachel's words. So Rachel, this is part of the thing that she was defending on her own Instagram, which we'll get to probably at the end of this show. But it's like, okay, so at the time, there's a lot of things that go into a statement like that. But like, I would really love, and I don't know if she's answered this directly on her podcast, is these are my true core people. These are my forever friends. So let's break that down. At that time, did you really feel that way? And at that time, did you feel that way knowing you were currently sleeping with Tom Sandoval? So in that sense, did you really think, oh, truly fuck Ariana? My forever friends are Sheena and Tom. And I'm pretty sure Ariana is going to be cut out of this. And I'm going to make it so that these truly are my friends and Ariana doesn't exist in this world. Like, you know, I know when you're in this kind of love lust thing, you're swept up in so many different emotions and thought processes. And I'm sure Tom was implanting thoughts into you as well as his PP. And I do wonder then, what was your actual thinking when you would go to bed? And I know she was, you know, admittedly drinking a lot and potentially taking a lot of substances. So that would quiet those voices potentially. But when they were clear, what were they saying? Like, how did you see this working out? Like, was that a true statement? These are your forever friends. Ariana continues in a talking head. When she says we weren't that good of friends, it's either her telling herself that just so she feels better about what she did, or it's her saying, I really didn't think a fucking shit of Ariana. And that is it. That's really at the end of the day. And I want Rachel, and I'm sure she will, because Rachel will speak about all of this. This keeps the Vanderpump Industrial Complex going. You know, she, you know, releases things in her Instagram and I don't know. Go check it out if you want. But Rachel, listen, at the end of the day, you do have to like come at this in a way where it's like, which one of these was it? Because Ariana did. So what I'm led to believe just from your behavior afterwards and talking about it in retrospect is that you really just didn't think you didn't really think of her as kind of a person. And I'm not saying that's okay, but I'm saying it's potentially understandable because you thought you were in love at the time with this dude that was like throwing love at you 80 miles an hour. But I think that's it. Cause at the end of the day, you wouldn't be able to reconcile that. You would have to think like, oh, well, fuck Ariana. Like, she's kind of a joke, right? I don't know. I'm sure you guys have your own thoughts about this. Also, by the way, I forgot to do this in the beginning. Juliana Carosa took the notes for this brilliantly, as always. Juliana, thank you. One of the best people that I work with. And so thank you, Juliana. I'm so sorry that I just remembered that right now. I was just in my own little DeLulu, as the kids say, world. But thank you, thank you, thank you. Brilliant as always. Sheena, now in this scene, is like, she's like, she said, like, I had like some savior complex and that our friendship was equally beneficial. And as far as how much I helped her, she helped me. And then she's like, I paid rent. I paid the bills. I'm like, bitch, you contributed $1,000 to my $4,300 rent. You didn't pay for parking. You didn't pay for cable and you didn't even stock toilet paper. And you had sex in my bed. The fuck? Now, this is the thing, too. Raquel, you're getting into some sticky situations here because at the end of the day, I know Sheena offered you that. So, you know, you took it. But then, you know, in the after show, Sheena kind of says, and then you texted her again and said, can I do it for another $1,000 for another month? Can I do it for another? And then Sheena finally had to say, hey, we're getting rid of this apartment. We're moving to the Marina Del Rey place. So at a certain point, you know, even if you've now come to regret what you did, you know, it's a little tacky to then complain and talk about it in a certain way. At the end of the day, this was extended to you. And, you know, it's not defending yourself. Like, it's hard to defend yourself when you were getting, you're getting such a steal. I do like that Sheena kind of also infers that it's like, you didn't stock toilet paper. Like Raquel was like, and that girl be shitting. That girl be shitting. Like, man, that girl went through the TP. She was like Britney around the Stingrays. She be pooping, this Raquel. Raquel is like borrowing Starbucks napkins because she won't, like, she don't want to buy toilet paper. Like, it is wild, but it's like, you're losing the plot a little bit, Raquel. Like, you, these people did all do these things for you. You might now, in retrospect, regret a lot of it, but it was done for you, so you can't directly shit on the Sheena of it all. It's like, girl, these things did happen, you know? Oh, did anybody do a black light at that place before Sheena moved out? Anyways, back to James in that scene. He's like, anything else I should know about? James is relatively cool. Like, I thought he would be losing his flipping good God mind, you know, but I love DJ James Kennedy too. He really, and on the after show too, he's like, he finds podcasts very silly. It's come on. And it does get a little ridiculous. You know, I realize that, but it is funny that he won't even bother to listen. And that's sometimes the good way. Don't put yourself in front of your pain. Like, Sandoval's out there listening, and I'm not diagnosing him as a narcissist, but it is interesting that he wants to listen to people talk about him, even if it's bad. I'm like, what does that do for you, man? Like, what does that legitimately do for you? Allie's like, well, it just says like no accountability. She says that she was just upset after your breakup. She wasn't over you. She never actually loved Tom, which is funny because that's not what she was saying last summer. And we flash back to the reunion where Rachel's like, it was almost impossible to turn away from. And Andy's like, and you were in love. And Rachel's like, yeah. And back to Allie. Allie's like, well, I wonder how he feels, meaning Sandoval. And James is like, he invited me to his studio space tomorrow where he's practicing with the band. He offered for me to open for his band at the El Rey. I do also want to mention that Allie just said that, you know, she wasn't over you, DJ James Kennedy. She never actually loved Tom. And I imagine in that moment, DJ James Kennedy was like, damn right. Once you go DJ James Kennedy, you never go back. I knew that one with the mustache couldn't even bring a little pinky finger with the power that DJ James Kennedy brings to relationships and everything that he does. Are you kidding me? I'm the top man. But he had to play it off because Allie's his current girlfriend. He's like, okay, okay. But he's like, oh, hell yes. All right. James says, I understand that Tom has lied to me, as have I. He goes up. He's like, as have I in the past to him. Okay. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to figure out my relationship with Sandoval. I'm trying to figure out our friendship. Was it ever real? Do we have anything salvaged? Do we? The big, deep, eternal questions is, you know, what's up with the universe? Is there a God? What's the deal with DJ James Kennedy and Sandoval's relationship? The things that we all stay awake wondering about. I think at this point, you know, DJ James Kennedy is smart. I think he knows this, but it is funny that he kind of dangles these talking heads of like, what's it? It's all bullshit. Like, no, this isn't friendships at all. Period. End of story. You know? Oh, you guys, in classic Bonehead Bailey fashion, I just realized that my mic wasn't even plugged in. So that's why it potentially sounded weird in the first billion hours of this podcast. My God, what a fucking, I'm the nut job. Screw Sandoval and Raquel. I'm number one nut job over here. But in Sandoval fashion, I will blame Raquel for my own mistake. So I'm so sorry about that, folks. Hopefully we are back in business with the high quality audio that you are used to hearing. And so James had just complained about, like, what is his relationship with Sandoval? And he's like, I know, Ali, I'm, like, so past opening for the fucking band, but El Rey is such a legendary venue, so I was considering it. Now, the El Rey in Los Angeles on Wilshire Boulevard is, to me, a legendary venue. I have so many amazing memories of that venue in particular. Saw Ben Folds there multiple times. I saw Sleater Kinney. I saw Countess Luann. I've seen so many people over my decades in Los Angeles at the El Rey. It really is a magical place. But I also want to point out DJ James Kennedy opening for this band. I've seen him open for Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras. And that's also where he met Ali Daly, his love. Oh, my equine beauty. Nobody is as beautiful as Ali Bali. That's where they met opening. So, you know,
I like that he is considering, but yeah, he is past the point of opening for the, you know, for Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras. And it is so funny that this episode in particular aired the week after he literally played Neon Carnival, which is the number one party after Coachella to go to. And Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were making out next to the DJ booth. I mean, that's iconic. And really, you almost feel bad for Sandoval again of like, dude, when it comes to that scene. And it's like, yeah, DJ James Kennedy now, whether you like it or not, he has worked his way up as a DJ. Like, it really is. I gotta tell you, I'm proud of the dude. Like, he really worked, like he did it. Like, all those little nights at like Sir and all of this stuff, building, you know, setbacks. He really kept his nose to the grindstone. So I think that's one thing. When you just consistently do the work, you know, people might try to take you down in all these other ways, but they can't argue with you showing up and doing the work, which I feel like in terms of the actual DJ, and he's done. So it's really wild. Anyways, Ellie's like, can we like brighten this up? It's like really depressing. He's like, what else? Well, Lala's doing a sperm donor party, which is so cool. Like, your friends get to help pick out your baby. That's crazy. That's cool. So we go back to Lala, and you know, Lala's talking to Ariana and goes, hey, I have a question, Ariana. Is your home like available? Cause you have one of those still, which is actually coming in handy now. This is wild. Now, really, we already knew that it was going to be at Villa Rosa. Like, that's already. So these are little stage scenes, but I think it is wild, after complaining about Ariana, to still be in the house to even participate in a scene where you're even asking. Like, girl, if that was your whole point, it's like, why would I like, if she's like, if she tells Sheena last episode, like, girl, I'm over it, get the fuck out of that house, why would you then approach her to use the house? Ariana's like, I don't know that I can. Like, it's a hot mess now without Anne, because remember, Anne is gone, and now we have the new male assistant, which is Tom Sandoval 2.0, but with the mustache. It really is. Ariana should be like, no, Sandoval pretty much uses that for his creepy pool parties right now. Like, can you imagine that? And also, why would Lala want that bad juju of like, this is where Tom Sandoval told, like, you know, 21-year-olds, like, hey, I was thinking about going to Burning Man, dude. Are you into that stuff? Yeah, I'm single, dude. My ex is my roommate. I crush up potato chips and put them under the door. And Billy Lee's like, so funny, Tom. Amazing. Anyways, the camera shows life without Anne, and it's endless clutter and boxes. So all of the mess from Mariana's room has now made its way down into the entirety of the household. But we also know this is Sandoval as well. But there is just things scattered. It really does look like a bomb has gone off. And I truly wonder, like, is this truly the reality of the situation, that Anne was really keeping that place together? But Ariana's like, but I would have loved to do it otherwise when I have a new house. And Lala's like, then I can host my next sperm donor party there. And Ariana's like, hey, you can get inseminated in my new house if you want. Like, Ariana fully going, yeah, girl, I support you. Like, fully. And in talking heads, full support of Lala. I mean, listen, I just want to point out the difference in approach. And that's what I'm still trying to make sense of. Anyways, it would just be great if you can get inseminated at my new house if you want. Tom's like, if I keep the house, dude, you can get inseminated in my pool, dude. That's what I've been doing 24/7, just inseminating people in Valley Village. Lala and I talking head goes, this is a monumental moment in my life. We're like picking my future child who's going to be a part of my life until I die. I want to take the science jargon out of it a little bit. We flash back to the cryobank from the field trip from last episode. And the, you know, our new favorite character, Brian, he is pointing out all of the sperm donor vials, which I think would be just amazing if they just did. The editors should have done a troll where they put like Sandoval and like Schwartz's face and like maybe even Peter and just thrown them all in the mix. Like, any one of these guys could have donated sperm at any point. But I do like taking the jargon out of it, showing how this works. I think this is a very real storyline, fully in support of Lala. And I think this is great in demystifying a process. I don't know why anybody would have a problem with her going about it this way. I think it's awesome. All for it. Lala continues in a talking head. I'm trying to figure out little ways where I can look at this new baby and be like, you were brought here out of so much love. It may look different, but love is love. Hell yeah, Lala. Anyways, Lala says she's going to, talk to Lisa and try to, you know, just tell her she's going to do it there. And, you know, by the way, I wish Sheena would have offered the Marina Del Rey little pad, like, you do it here in the front yard where we always see the one shot of. Anyways,
back at James, Allie's like, the sperm party is going to be interesting just because I just love that. We're like, this sperm party is going to be interesting just because Lala's like really venting about Katie. We flash back to one day earlier at paintball where Lala's like, and like, it's very clear because like, I know my friend is unhappy. And Allie's like, right. And Lala's like, I know my friend is unhappy for a long time. And little Lala's like, she's fucking miserable, dude. Allie is like, they're just both such intense personality, James, that like they need to work it out. And James like, I agree. In James's mind, he's literally just picturing opening up at Coachella. You're like, what would I open up my song with? What would I do? Backstreet Boys. Yes, that's right. A soft song. By the way, the music in this episode is wild. This is a soft song. It's like, to get what you want, you gotta give all you got. Yeah, going high speed. I wanted high speed. Keep going high speed. We're at Schwartz's apartment in Valley Village. This old Joseph, she is gone. She is out. We see a diagram of Allie's astrological reading hanging on the fridge. We also see the little photo of Joseph. So she is still with us in a sense. Schwartz is talking gibberish with his two dogs that he shares with Katie, Butters and Gordo. Gordito, baby, Gordita, baby. He's talking to his dogs while he sits on their dog bed, which is a huge dog bed, which is, these are two smaller dogs, but I do think that Schwartz is comfortable more on the dog bed. I don't know what that says, but I like that he is on the dog bed. The dogs are on the sofa and he's like, you're all I got. Just me and the boys. Ah, oh, you guys, Gordo and Butters, you're the only ones that truly get me. Actually, no, Tom Schwartz has fully come out with his new girlfriend, his 24-year-old girlfriend. They've been dating about 6 months, I think he said, on Watch What Happens Live. Very happy. He said Katie was even nice about it. But if he's happy, I'm happy. Very young. But listen, they went to Coachella together. Fine. Great. I mean, but that's got to really, after the Joe thing too, but people, you know, I don't know. Anyways, the door opens slowly and Sandoval sullenly walks in. He's sad Sandoval. He's sad Sandoval. He's like, what's up, dude? And he barely acknowledges the dogs, Gordo's and Butter. They're like, oh, what's up, dogs? Because it's very interesting later on when Hippie the dog comes into the rehearsal studio. He's like, Hippie, what's up, dude? Like, you know, very performatively. But this is like, oh, what's up? Whoa. Hey, dude. George's like, what's up, dude? How's it going, dude? There's a handwritten note they shot shoot to on the fridge. It says, hi, Buck. Joseph called him T-Money. So Buck, like, I love you. Dollar like money. Ha, get it? That's great. That was Juliana Carrozza right there. Schwartz is like, sorry about the fridge. Slim pickings. I've been making it a point to keep my fridge like beautifully stocked, like well merchandised. So like everything is lately, but it like I kind of fell apart the last few weeks. My slogan is like clean, organized fridge, fucking chaotic everything else in my life. Sandoval sits down. He's like, sorry, dude. I'm like really shell-shocked right now, dude. What's going on? Raquel went on a podcast. I just listened to it and it's just there's so many fucking ad breaks, dude. Like half of that thing was ads. Like, what was Bethany thinking, dude? It's like shitty content, dude. I would love it. I was like, what am I fucking listening to here, dude? It's like way too many ads. Like, there's no content at all. She's not even asking the right questions. She didn't even watch the show, Schwartz. No, he's like, and she, dude. I'm listening to it, Schwartz. And she's like, I wasn't in love with Tom. And she's acting as though she's like, somehow she's acting as like she somehow got it worse out of everybody. This is like the scene with Lisa Vanderpump earlier in the season when she was like, it's over, Tom. She thinks that you're not good for her. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? I hate she's acting like she somehow got it the worst.
I mean, this is wild, dude. Like, whatever you think about Raquel, she literally went away to a mental health facility where she got her phone one time. I mean, like, dude, like, breathe. Like, I get that it's a shock that you're, you know, like, that this all of a sudden happened and she's turned against. What do you mean? I'm not good. Where is she getting this? Those people, those trained therapists are poisoning her against me, dude. Everything has been on the up and up in this relationship. I would have done anything. I fucking lied and cheated in the last. I was with her 9 years. I did that for her, dude. I didn't want to do it. You think I wanted to do that with Ariana? She's a beautiful flower. You think I wanted to? No, dude. That's Raquel, dude. She made me, dude. She's a minx. She's a temptress, dude. And not to hear her on Bethany Frankel, of all people. It could have been worse, dude. She could have done Nick Viall's podcast, dude. It could have been worse. But Bethany Frankel, she's like, I just like that. He's like, you serious? Like, she's acting like she got it the worst out of everybody, dude. Nah, dude. I got it the worst. I'm still here collecting a paycheck that I renegotiated for Vanderpump Rules. I'm getting legitimately paid right now. He's not getting dick from that podcast, but I'm getting it worth. Like, remember, Bethany didn't pay her for that podcast. Bethany does produce her actual podcast, though. Anyway, Schwartz just, you know, you can tell Schwartz when he's like, oh, fuck, man, we're going down this road. He's like, back to the fridge. You both got it bad? He's like, it's great when Schwartz is even mystified. He's like, oh, fuck, dude. And Santa was like, well, I made changes to myself, dude. Like, thinking that, and now the tears are flowing. Tears, dude. Do you see these? Camera, get a tight shot, dude. Tight shot. I'm seeing the scene in my head, and I'm picturing a tight shot of my face, water rolling down my eye drops, my eyelids. George is like, yeah, I'd be like us versus the world. Maybe one day that she would see the hard work that I've done to myself, dude. And she would appreciate it. Dude, I've done ice plunges for her. I'm journaling consistently, dude. I'm doing breath work where I orgasm in my house, dude. I'm doing this all for her. I'm drinking Heineken light. I fucking hate Heineken, dude. It doesn't even give you a buzz when it's not with the alcohol. Do you even realize that, Raquel? Dear diary, tough day, dude. Frankel's podcast came out. 4 parts, dude. So hard with my attention span. I kept having to run to the bathroom because I had so many laxatives in me. All the things she said, I legitimately thought she was going to praise me. I really did. I thought it was going to be like some kind of foreplay before she came back and we bone zoned again. But she badmouthed me, dude. It's like, I can understand like badmouthing Ariana because like, fuck her, pins and batteries, right, Journal? But me, dude? Dude, you know, Journal, out of everybody, because you know, I write in you consistently. Like, that's like tough, dude. Anyway, keep it real, dude. Have a cool summer. JK, love you. Tom Sandoval. This is wild. And by the way, okay, so let's take this serious. There is obviously that part that Sandoval probably genuinely believes this. He's so enveloped in his own feelings that he has blinders on to the outside world. So he is in that me, and not taking, because the one thing you can say about Bethany Frankel, like, is Rachel was trying to communicate things, but you just didn't agree with what she was communicating because it goes against the narrative that you told yourself in your head. Sandoval in his head, in that New York Times article, that horrible New York Times article, even says it with his own words, is that now I picture my life as a reality show. I picture living scenes in life 3 times. Once when they actually happen, once doing the talking head, and then once when it gets released to the audience. He lives his whole life like that, even off camera. And how could you not in certain ways, because you're 11 seasons into a show.
But I think in his head, he had done this all differently. He had this storyline that it would be us against the world, dude. Dude, everybody hates us, dude. But we get our own storylines. We do breath work together. We do cold plunges together. We don't have to hang out with Billy Lee, dude. Kyle Chan sometimes, sure. But like, you know, we do that and we build and we show people how awesome and rock stars we are. Galaxy Light team forever, dude. He wrote that in his head. He directed that in his head. And he tells that with his own words that he does see life like that now. So I think that just, it hurts because it goes against not even just the love feeling, but the narrative that he had written in his own head about all of this. Like, what? Fucking cheated for nothing, dude? 9 years for like nothing? Come on, dude. In a talking head in his Zara suit, woman Zara suit, he goes, I wasn't fully ready to give up hope until I heard it from her own lips. And now I have. I go through all that and like not even give it a shot. Like, what was it all for, dude? What was it all for? In the scene with Schwartz, he's like, I don't understand how she could think that I was anything but somebody who loved and cared about her. Like, I'd do anything for her, man. Would you not lie to your ex? No, dude, no, I'm going to have to still lie to her, dude. No, I can't. No, that's ridiculous, dude. No, dude. Would you sell the house? No, dude, come on. Don't be crazy. But I would do anything else. Anything, dude. Would you stop wearing women's clothing? No, dude, like the cut of it fits my body. Dude, I'm ripped right now. You see me on Special Forces? Oh, man, I put my body through insanity. Anyway, Schwartz is like, anywho, regardless what she says in a podcast, like she probably just wants her voice to be heard one last time before she goes and pursues her new life, dude, whatever that looks like. But it's over, man. It's been over. Something that we all have said, and the whole cast has said. So, you know, Schwartz is in this moment being a good friend to Sandoval, as he really has been the entire season. He really has stood by Sandoval's side. I don't think you need to pat him on the back for it, but you can't argue that he hasn't. But also, I love this of like, just like, let, you know, go let Raquel do whatever she's going to do. Let her start her own life. I think they all didn't realize that she wanted to be still in this whole atmosphere. Like, I think, you know, when he says that, it's like, let her just ride off into the sunset and just be a normal person. It's like, no, she still wants to be involved in this mess. Anyways, a sad song plays right here. It's like, and I'm falling, though I can't afford to leave. Leonard Cohen, eat your heart out. It's a new day. We jaunt on over to old Tom Tom. Lisa is there. Where's Tom and Tom? I'm at Tom Tom. And we have our buddy Logan Cochran, the bar manager there. Logan, Ariana's BFF. You know, some people have come down on Logan this season. Freddie Mellencamp. You know, always just a really genuine guy, good guy. He's the guy also that broke the penis flute, but don't worry. The penis flute got put back together. Penis flute all safe and sound. But also if you're somebody's BFF and you find out this happens, a few penis flutes are going to get broken, period. Logan didn't like lay his hands on Tom, laid his hands on a penis flute, which is, I guess, an extension of Tom. Lisa's like, they're coming in to show me the cocktails they want to put in for brunch. So they're doing brunch now here. She's like, Tom Tom will never be pump, and nor would we want it to be, because we're burning that place down for insurance money. It's got a very different aesthetic, very different than my new one, Wolf, in Lake Tahoe. Me and Nicolaine have gotten the sexiest, most sumptuous. Anyways, this is about Tom Tom. There's no reason we can't develop the restaurant part and add brunch to the menu. We want to keep the spirit alive.
Will you talk about spirits, please? Sweet release, let me go. Oh, can't believe that.
Folks, that is the end of part one, Super Spectacular Vanderpump Rules. Click over to part two right now. So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies.
Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.